Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. All right, it's time for the iOS show where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, especially because you're here.
Yay, I'm here. I'm not dead.
You're not dead.
Yeah.
That makes this a wonderful, beautiful day.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen is also here.
Yep.
What's up?
Quickly muting the phone so we're not annoyed by Periscope.
Are you getting Periscoped?
I get notifications from Periscope. I made the horrible mistake of when I signed up for that thing, letting it add all my Twitter followers, and then I promptly had to go back through and like delete everybody.
I made the same mistake.
I usually answer no to any sort of questions that apps ask me when I first install them.
Yeah.
It's best.
Oh, well, I was like, I wanted to try it out and I wanted to see what it was about because it was getting some buzz. So I wanted to be able to see some videos, and I figured my best chance was to let it go with all the people I was following on Twitter. The problem is that it's super popular right now for the moment, you know, for about the next week, and then it'll die a horrible death.
Yeah.
Yeah, but someone will Periscope
as people
to death.
Get bored with it. It's like the hot fad right now. I have a feeling it's going to last all of like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm waiting for the Kickstarter campaign for the Periscope butt cam attachment. I think that'll be USB-C.
USB-C.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. This
USB anus.
Oh, boy. This show is sponsored by lynda.com.
Well, at least it
used
just to
jump
be.
Right in, jump
we'll
right
talk more about
sponsor.
That later
like
on.
That.
They'll tell you about video production, music production, and other sorts of important things that are not
take some of the classes.
Yeah, so
actually,
you can,
it'd be a great way to have awesome Periscope video.
Awesome Periscope
videos.
Learn
how to light and shoot that stuff.
Light and shoot. I mean, there is a lot of that cool stuff. We'll talk more about it later. But let's talk about the some rumors with the next iPhone, because there are those. Other than, I mean, we're going to talk about the watch, of course, because it's just all about that. But Digitimes, they think that we're going to be seeing another 4-inch iPhone model coming out, a new one. I don't know where they got these images. It's an interesting image because it kind of maybe not. I was going to say it represents the design of the iPhone 6, but in a 4-inch form factor, because I'm looking at these antenna lines. I don't know if you guys are looking at the same little mock-up-y thing, but now that I look at it, it looks more like the...
this is the 6C?
The iPhone 5. Yeah, the 6C.
It just looks like the silhouette from an iPhone 5.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, my bad. But, yeah, they're thinking that we're going to see a new one, a new C version, a new low-priced iPhone with the 4-inch form factor, which they think is going to resemble the 6 product line right now. Which would be cool, but I think it's going to be, as far as like a metal back, the rounded edges more, and probably a dumb protruding camera.
Now we're hearing it's not going to be the like polycarbonate.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where it falls off. I'm not buying that at all. And I think Wall Street Journal, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that they were confirming that there's going to be a 4-inch version.
I'm having a hard time accepting the 4-inch screen thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm totally buying that.
Yeah, so there's a from...
Well, okay, this is just for the 6C, right?
6C,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
So
okay, well, that's
repackaged. Okay. It's just a repackaged 5S.
Yeah, okay, that's more acceptable. For some reason, I had it in my head that there's going to be a 4-inch version of the regular 6 line.
Yeah, what I had been reading was that it's a repackaged 5S with some additional features, things like Force Touch, which sounds like the entire line is rumored to be getting in the next go around, which makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Touch ID, of course, in
Touch
there.
Touch ID, yeah.
You know, just like 5S. Same A8 processor, is that right? Or A, is that right? Is that
where are we at?
We're upping the processor to an A8, I guess. The 5S has an A7? I can't remember.
I can't even remember it.
I lose track. But, I mean, the point is you know, a smidge of an update to the 5, think of a smidge of the, an update to the 5S, you know, a couple little new things in there, not major changes.
Yeah.
And then cramming that into the 5C polycarbonate case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That I can totally buy.
And you've got an entry level phone. I just hope to God the entry level storage size is 32 gigs and not 16, but it'll probably be 16.
It's going to be 16.
It'll be 16.
I thought you were going to say, I hope it's not 8 because they're still selling 8 gig phones.
Which should be a crime.
Better not be 8.
It's not going to be 8. It's got to be 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 5S base storage was 16 gigs with an A7 processor. So I wouldn't be surprised to see almost identical specs.
I think
that.
There's a lot of people that really like that form factor and would love to have that model. I've heard it from my listeners. I hear it, you know, I see it online all the time. And so I think as Apple's entry level offering, that's definitely the way to go.
It's a nice phone. Yeah.
It's not going to be a hot seller or anything like that, but I think it's the typical lineup of you've got good, better, best, right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And it'll be great. People will love it.
And I think the better, you're thinking the better version, the middle tier would be the last year's
6S.
Model?
No. I'm just saying in terms of like the iPhone lineup. So you have.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You're going to have the 6C 4-inch. You're going to have the 7, or I guess it's going to be 7C? Are they calling
6S.
It 6C? 6C, oh yeah, sorry, it's the S year. That's right. So you're going to have the 6C, 6S, 6X Plus. 6S Plus. So you've got 1, 2, 3.
Interesting. Right?
Three choices in the lineup, and that's it.
I have a feeling they're going to be extending that a bit. I think it's going to be this year's model, you know, this last year's model this year. Right for the
yeah,
middle
tier. Yeah, I hate when they do that. I'm hoping this is the year they move away from that.
And it would
just
be
like,
nice.
It would be less confusing for people.
Well, the thing
if
is,
they moved away from
it
that.
Would be well if maybe if they stopped marketing it, right? So you went in there and you're like, well, I don't really care about getting this year's model. I don't want to spend as much money, but I do want to get the bigger screen thing. What do you have left in stock? Kind of style thing. Because right now it was upsetting. When I went into with my girlfriend to get her her iPhone 5C, mm-hmm. and they only had the 8 gig models at the Apple Store because they intentionally depleted their higher storage models because that was last year's model, and so we had to go to AT&T and the whole nonsense that ensued there. So that sucks.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think they need to get to a point where.
It needs to be streamlined
There's
somehow.
There's three models in the lineup, and each time they do a rev, they're updating all three. Or I could even see them only updating the C line every 2 years, you know, so you don't have that alternating. And then upping the, you know, sticking with the two upper ones every year.
Yeah, I don't
which
know.
Which is the only thing that makes it weird about them going to a 6C in the S year. Like, I think they should actually do it when they come out with the 7. So you have 7C, iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and then the next year rolls around, you'd still have the 7C, 7S, 7S Plus, and then it rolls around again, and then they can go to 8.
I guess.
Right, on all three lines.
Maybe this is part of the transition into an easier to follow product line.
Yeah, because what you just said wasn't. It just sounds like alphabet
soup.
It's
totally simple. It just means there's always three models in the lineup, and the entry-level model is the C.
Okay.
Then you have the mid-tier one, which is just like the one that most people are probably going to get, which is just the iPhone.
Okay.
And then you have the Plus for the people who want the larger size device.
I guess.
That's it. You have three options. Do you want...
Right, and then you don't have well, here's last year's phone at a discount thrown right. in the middle of
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. So that'd be cool. As long as it was... So you're saying the 5C or the classic. 6C, is that going to be a free phone or is that going to be the $100 yeah. phone?
Well, I think that's up to the carriers. I think, okay. you know, how much they want to subsidize that is...
But there's either going to be a $100 phone or a free phone. There's not going to be both is,
yeah,
is the bottom
just
line.
Confusing.
Okay,
whoops,
I'm gonna
sorry.
Put a bleep in there.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Maybe I'll put a whoops-a-daisy. I can use that as a bleep.
Yeah, totally. You now have a whoops-a-daisy you can use.
Yeah. As far as the force touch technology, Ming-Chi Kuo believes that it's going to be there. There are rumors that we may only see it in the Plus.
Now, this is just like the rumors that we'd have the Touch ID only on a high-end iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BS. Total
yeah.
BS.
Yeah, I think
there's no reason why they can put it in the watch, the itty-bitty watch. They can put it in the giant trackpad and yeah. a giant iPhone, but they can't put it in like the mid-tier iPhone.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
There's even a bigger reason for them not. I mean, developers are going to want, and Apple's going to want to leverage that extra gesture. So
of course.
To only have it in one device
that not many people buy
out of three that are running the same operating system is stupid.
Yeah.
Absolutely stupid. Yeah.
Yep. So I think we're going to see it in both this year six models
yeah.
and perhaps in the C.
I think we're going to see it everywhere.
Yeah. And why not?
Apple wants to force touch everybody.
Exactly.
Force yeah. touch the next MacBook Pro update for the 15 incher is going to have this.
Yeah.
And it'll end up on the MacBook Air. Yeah, it's going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And
show me where Eddie force touched you.
Oh my God, I shouldn't laugh. I'm only going to encourage you.
That's fine. But anyway, Ming-Chi Kuo, he believes that the tech in the Force Touch for the iPhone is going to be slightly different, where it's not necessarily going to sense the pressure. It's going to be more contact area. And ultimately, I'm not sure it really matters. It'd be interesting to see if they try to emulate the sensation of pressing keys like on an old style keypad where you had a physical keyboard. Because
mm-hmm.
It seems like by all accounts the Taptic engine would be capable of such feedback. Although I don't know if that would translate to the rear of the case or how that would work.
It's localized feedback, I think, sort of under the fingertips, right?
Well, that'd be cool.
Right.
That'd be great. I'd love that. And even if it wasn't, you're not necessarily putting more than one finger on the screen at a time when you're typing.
Well, can it handle multiple taps? I played around with the Force Touch trackpad at the Apple Store. It's pretty cool.
It is very cool. It feels exactly like the clicking sensation.
Yeah, if you put two fingers on at the same time, can it
differentiate? I don't think so. I wouldn't think.
Is it multi-taptic? What are we going to call it? Multi-taptic?
I love that word, and I hope it's real.
Okay, I like multi-taptic too.
I don't think it is, though. I think it's just one little...
I may have to go back to the store and play with it some more. iOS, there's some new features found in iOS 8.3 beta. I think it was beta 3. They've been poking around. They found some new features. They found one feature that I've been trying to force Siri to do for me. Every once in a while, when I'm in the car, I say, call Adam on speaker. And she's like, okay, calling Adam, and totally ignores the speaker part.
Yeah, you got to tap the speaker button.
Yeah. So now it's in there. Siri understands how to press the speaker button for you.
Yay.
So that's really nice. That'll
It'll be
nice
safer.
Appreciated in California, where...
Everywhere where you want to be safe.
Well, where you want to be safe and where you could get a ticket for talking on your cell phone. Is it... Will you get a ticket?
You can get a ticket for touching your cell phone.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, that's true. You can.
For force touching it? You get a big ticket for that.
For force touching the officer, you go to jail.
So this is why we want to continue encouraging you. Yeah, so that'd be a nice feature everywhere. And in addition to that, they've also found that you can toggle on and off requiring a passcode for free downloads. That's nice. And is it currently a feature where you can say whether you want to always require or require after 15 minutes a passcode? I think that's in there right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's currently in there. But requiring a passcode for free downloads, yes, no, is going to be a feature in there as well. So that those are some nice features that they're actually adding besides emoji, because it seems like everybody's talking about the dang emoji.
The inclusive emoji?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good.
It's good. And there has been another beta. So beta 4 of iOS 8.3 was seeded, which I guess the most notable is that they've removed the beta badge from iCloud Photo Library again. I guess they've taken it out and put it back in, and they took it out again. So it's
might
not
be time
beta.
For me to finally install beta 3.
No, don't.
Done it yet.
No. Dude, I've been on the Yosemite beta, the whatever the heck we're on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been great. I'm running that.
No, it's been a total piece.
Why? I'm not having any issues.
It's constant issues with me, with my brand new current generation MacBook.
Really weird. I'm running a 2011 MacBook Pro, and I've got no issues. I've had zero.
It's a joy.
Yeah, I'm running it on a 2011 Air.
And you're probably having no issues either.
And I'm not having issues. But I haven't installed the most current beta, because there's two betas that came out this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't installed either, because the first one that came out, people were saying, holy crap, Mail is so completely borked.
Oh, really?
And so I held off, and supposedly the second beta that came out makes Mail usable again.
I think they probably put in a Wi-Fi fix as well, because it suddenly had dumb Wi-Fi again, at least for me.
So is this the 14D130A build?
Maybe. Let me see.
Yeah, that's
yeah I'm not sure.
I have 14D, 130A.
I've had zero issues.
Well, good for you. Yeah, I had it. Oh, man. The worst of it was I couldn't. It just every once in a while it would stop allowing typing in secure fields.
So, really?
Yeah. So password fields, it would just your keyboard would stop working, including like if you wanted a command tab away from it or something, your keyboard just shut down.
I only have one obscure Bluetooth issue, and I filed a radar report on it, and they're working on it, I think.
Yeah, my thing.
Audio issue.
My thing is waking. I have the box checked for not allowing Bluetooth devices to wake my computer, and yet my headphones constantly wake the computer, which wasn't a problem before. So yes, lesson is don't install beta on your daily drivers, because unless you like to feel crazy,
I do,
and frustrated. Sometimes.
Well, see, and then in that case, you just get on with your badass self, Adam.
Yeah, but no, I usually wait on the iOS ones until they're pretty close to release, so beta 4, beta 5, something like that.
Why not just stick to when it's released? I don't think there's really...
I
mean, unless you really want
the... before it comes out so I can talk about it on the show.
It's just emoji in this one, dude.
The new emoji.
Yeah. That's all. The only reason I installed the Yosemite beta was
beta
for photos.
Beta 4 is going to be the big one.
Beta 4?
Or, I mean, 8.4 is going to be the big one, right?
Is it?
Because it's going to have the new music stuff.
Oh, supposedly. That's just
Do we have
rumor,
that in our list?
Right? Do we? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It's supposed to have the new music service, right?
I didn't know.
The updated Beats is in 8.4. According to all the rumors.
Well, that's cool.
The new Apple version of Beats. They're going to take on Tidal, I guess.
So it's going to be functional for beta testers? Do you think that's going to be...
I don't know if it'll be functional for beta testers. They're just saying that's when Apple will release. And the 8.4 update is supposedly going to be the update that's going to have Beats, like, in, you know, for everybody's going to get it. And it's going to be one of those unremovable apps. And
Oh, cool. I love those.
Yeah, and it may have a different name, but it'll be the revamped, updated version of Beats.
Yeah, yep. And we'll see it. We're expecting WWDC time.
Yeah, exactly. You got
it. Gotcha. Okay.
And as long as Apple can avoid having as painfully surreal press event as Tidal did, they have already won.
I'm very interested in checking out Tidal, though, and I think they may eat Apple's lunch because of their exclusives.
From what I've heard, the curated playlist that Tidal has just simply cannot be beat.
Wow.
Yeah. And then again, they've got those exclusive artists, and they're tempting artists because they're paying on the high def stuff double the royalties. So I'm just afraid, like, you know, Tidal's going to shore up all the artists that people want to listen to. For example, Michael, Daft Punk is exclusive on Tidal.
Oh, well, they're all
their new stuff.
Also exclusive on my record player because I already own it. So who cares?
Yeah, but I mean, they're new stuff. So if you got Beats from Apple, you're not going to get their newest stuff first on Beats. It's going to be on Tidal. So
okay,
that kind of fragmentation is the kind of thing that kills, I think, music services. Like when, especially somebody who's very into music, and they've got, you know, who else is on there? Madonna, Jay-Z, I guess, because he runs the thing, right?
Deadmau5.
Yeah. See, they got all the cool people that the kids want to listen to.
Deadmau5.
So they're going to be exclusive when they're coming out with new tracks and new albums, and they're going to let them do stuff where they can just release stuff direct without going through the labels, I think, from what I was reading. So if they want to do like experimental stuff or studio stuff, it's going to start showing up there.
Hmm.
You know?
Now I need to check out the Daft Punk subreddit.
And they're on Sonos, so I'm very tempted.
Yeah, but
I tried
Sonos.
Beats. Well, I tried Beats, and I was not super impressed, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you run Beats?
No.
Michael?
I don't.
No. No, I run the music app.
Yeah.
I want to get back on RDO. I canceled it for a while, but I like pulling up RDO for random one-off songs.
I'm thinking of checking Tidal out.
Okay, check out Tidal.
Dave Hamilton is really liking it a lot.
Yeah.
Dave talked with me about it quite a bit on Monday's TMO Daily Observations.
Mm-hmm. Was that the same one where you were talking about the watch in the store, Apple stores and stuff? Or is that a different one?
Reservations?
That was the same one? I only listened to part of that episode.
This might have been, I can't remember if those were the same day or back to back, because Dave was on 3 days in a row this week.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, anyway, let's take a sponsor break, and then we'll talk about the watch and some more watch and some more watch, because that's really what we're...
Can we make some time to talk about watch?
I think we could.
Okay, cool.
We could make some time. If only we had an Apple Watch to track that time that we're going to be making for it. Of course, this episode is brought to you by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/tios. That's lynda.com/tioss. And you know what? lynda.com is just full of pretty much everything you could ever want to learn about that could be like given to you via this visual learning medium. It's like YouTube, but you're guaranteed to learn something valuable every single time that you go in there. So it's not like hit and miss. We're like, oh, this YouTube video might be awesome. This definitely is. It's worth your time. It's broken up into 10-minute chunks. So it's bite-sized, and you can learn the individual topics, such as Swift Essential Training. You can learn Objective-C. You can learn HTML. You can learn how to build a website. There are design topics. There's music production. We were talking about video production earlier. There are so many different things in there, not just from like learning how to code or something like that, but there's also learning like design principles, how to film things properly, how to light things properly, how to do post-production on video, how to learn specific pieces of software, stuff like Photoshop or Avid or Premiere or Final Cut or any of that stuff. It's all in there. If you're thinking you want to learn a piece of software, like 99%, Linda's probably got it. And they've got some really great features that they've incorporated over the years, such as being able to browse the transcripts in all of these courses. So you can go to a specific course, you can look through the actual transcript and click on an individual word, and it'll jump you to that portion in there, so you can find exactly what you're looking for. It follows along as you go. You can look at all the stuff on your iPhones, your iPads. You can download them for later. You can have it playing on your iPad next to your computer while you're working on through the lesson on your computer. I mean, it's awesome. The way that they have this system set up works so well for learning. It's so much better than having to go to like the local community college and taking a class and going through all that stuff. And because it's all at your own pace, right? And you're learning from experts who really know this stuff, and they've taken a lot of time to figure it out. So they're great. You get unlimited access to every course on lynda.com when you sign up, not just for the 10-day trial, but in general. You can check out everything, and you can browse their entire library without even signing up. So you can check it out and like, oh, that's something I want to check out too. And like, oh, that's something else. And then you realize, holy cow, I have to go check out Linda. Let's see what else. You can create and save playlists of the courses that you want to watch. So that would be great for that kind of thing. So you can customize your learning path. You can share it with friends. You can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. Jeff, have you done any of these?
You know, I've been playing around with some of the Photoshop ones, specifically the stuff that Bert Monroy does.
Yeah.
In part because Bert's one of my friends, but also because the techniques that he has come up with to create photorealistic graphics without having any photography involved at all is just stunning. And the techniques can be applied to other things too. So yes, I'm learning just some awesome stuff about how to improve my Photoshop skills by watching Bert's videos.
Yeah, and you're already like really good at Photoshop, so you're just even pulling more value out of this thing. So it's not just for beginners either.
Right.
People who are into vector stuff should check out Von Glitschka's work on lynda.com. Ooh. He is like an awesome vector illustrator.
I really need to get into that vector stuff still.
Yeah. And I worked with him when I worked at Upper Deck, and he's just a great dude in general. So, I mean, that's the kind of quality instructors Linda has, is they have like top people in their fields like teaching this stuff. That's one thing I like about them.
Yeah. Yeah, so awesome. And actually, it's really funny. I have the thing open, and it's giving me some recommendations, and it also has things like improving your memory, speed reading fundamentals, and learning to be assertive. I mean, there's tons of stuff. I didn't realize that went that broad.
Yeah, there's a lot of deep stuff. If you just need like business help, if you need marketing help.
So cool.
Just inspirational stuff too. They have some videos that are just purely about getting you inspired about working in a certain field or in an industry.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, of course, your lynda.com membership will give you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an industry expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, check out lynda.com/Tyos and sign up for your free 10-day trial. They're great. Check them out. lynda.com. And with that, the Apple Watch stuff. And let's see here. There was something that just came out. Yeah, they just added guided tours right when we started recording. They have on apple.com/watch. Let's see here. Yeah, watch the guided tours. I wonder if this is like iPhone Bob. Remember iPhone Bob? He gave you the guided tours.
Oh, man, I forgot about iPhone Bob.
What was his name? Like Bob Borchers or something like that? He was actually like a head iPhone dude, and they put the black turtleneck on him and made him do all these videos.
man, I forgot all about those videos. That was awesome. And it was like they took the pixelated Tutor that we had back when we got our first Apple computer with a mouse. And do you remember that, Adam? The mouse yep. tutorial that came with the old Macs? And it was a guy, pixelated guy with a turtleneck. And it's like they took that and turned it into a real person. That was Bob. And then he did our iPhone videos.
That's so cool. Oh, yeah. I'm looking through these
good times.
These are really cool. Wow. So these basically just give you a little feel for what it's going to be, like to use your watch. So they have a couple of them.
Three.
They have three. They only have three. They've got more coming soon.
They've got messages, faces, and digital touch. And to be followed by phone calls, Siri, Maps, music, Apple Pay, activity, and workout.
Yeah, that looks really cool. Yeah, so check that out.
This is
gonna make
so
me
smart.
Buy freaking two watches.
Well, one
can we talk about this? How many people I've had email me who are like, "I'm getting two because they want to use." I kind of poo-pooed and thought
the digital touch. Yeah, I totally. I'm thinking the
stupid.
Same thing.
But everybody is like emailing me, like, "I'm going to get one for me and myself and my wife, or myself and my girlfriend, or my boyfriend, or what have you."
Yeah, dude, totally. Yeah, I've talked
because
to quite a few
totally
people.
Because I want to totally use this feature.
Yeah. Well, it's, so, and like I was telling my girlfriend about it, and she's been completely like, yeah, the Apple Watch is totally dumb. And I get it, why it's not obvious to many people who don't like engross themselves in the ideas and what this could be. But I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if, you know, you're at work and you obviously can't answer your phone, but you have your watch on and I can send you a little message just kind of letting you know that I'm thinking about you. And she's like, oh, yeah, that would be kind of cool. So, and that, I mean, otherwise I'd have to just send my heartbeat to Adam.
Yep.
So, or Jeff.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can totally
so nice.
Do that.
I'd thinking love about to know you were thinking of me during your day.
You know, I know I would feel more worthwhile and have a better sense of self-worth if I was getting those sweet little
love
thinking
taps.
Of you pulses on my wrist from you.
Yeah.
But really all I'm expecting is butt dick sketches.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Dick butt,
whatever. See, that's how
yeah. I gotta get good at drawing dick
yeah,
butt.
Yeah, but dick pictures are completely different.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Yeah, so Apple announced that the pre-orders, of course, will kick off at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, or Pacific Time, whatever. I don't know if that really matters. On April 10th. I'll
when
be
Apple
up.
Servers completely melt down.
So probably try to use the app on your phone.
Puddles of silicone goo.
And yeah. I would recommend maybe setting up the Apple Pay in the store app, so then you can get the whole thing done with like two steps.
You have to set that up. You have to do something extra to enable that, or
maybe.
I thought Apple Pay.
Or just have Apple Pay set up on your phone.
I guess that's what I mean. Yeah, have Apple Pay ready to go on your phone.
Yeah, there you go.
In there.
And I think you can you can heart the one you want.
You can heart your pick.
Yeah,
I tried to
pick.
Okay, so my plan is after I place my order at 12:01-ish on the 10th, I'm going to then turn around and schedule an appointment for try-ons.
Yep.
And so I've already liked the watch I know I'm getting. And then there were two others I thought I should like these because those are possibles if it turns out that the 38mm Black Sport is the wrong size for me. And the Apple Store app let me like the one I want and one other. And that's it.
Here's the other thing. I'm surprised at how many people are going for the 38mm.
That is surprising. But it's cheaper.
I just assumed I'd want the 42mm, but I have a lot of guys who are telling me they're going for the 38.
I'm definitely going for the 38. Now, in my case, I haven't worn a watch in like 20 years. And I think the 42mm is just going to be physically too big for me to be comfortable. And right. I did the whole thing where I printed out the scale mock-ups and looked at them, and I took all these measurements and cut them out and tried them, and I'm like, yeah, the 42 just looks like this, like I'm strapping an iPhone to my wrist.
Interesting. Well, you know, they said
the pebble.
That,
do we know?
The pebble's pretty big.
Yeah.
So
right,
if you're comfortable
right, it's
with...
Big, it's bigger than the 42, right?
Yeah, so if you're comfortable with the pebble, then yep. a 42 is probably going to be just fine.
Yeah, there was a story one developer who went to who was invited to try their app on running hardware said that the 42 is a really good size, but who knows about the guy's wrist size. But yeah, I'm definitely going for the 42. What are your other choices? I'm curious, Jeff.
I tagged the 42 inch Sport Black.
Okay, so you really want the black one. So you're thinking if you can't get the 38, you'll go for the 42.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm really curious about the stainless. So I'm also going to look at the 38 millimeter stainless with just a classic black buckle on it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think the stainless watches are more like the upper management watch or something.
I really want the stainless space black one, but I'm never going to pay $1,100 for an Apple Watch. Never.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Never say never, Adam.
In the stainless model, I would prefer to have the black, but yeah, the only way to get it is to shell out $1,100.
Or yeah. So if I was independently wealthy, I guess.
Aren't you, though? I thought you were.
Yeah. I got cash. I've got stacks of cash over here. It's like Scrooge McDuck in here. I'm just like swimming through it.
Yeah. No, I understand. You have a wife to explain that kind of purchase to.
I can barely explain $400 for a watch. I mean,
I know.
Geez. I mean, the most I've ever spent on a watch until this time, I believe, well, it would be the Pebble, which was, I think, 200, 199, 149.
That probably generated an eye roll.
I used some birthday money or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I got to use the birthday money. All right, so are you going to get one for the wife?
No.
No?
Because she has no interest in it.
Yeah,
she wouldn't wear it.
Man, I think that's what it is. Everybody who wants an Apple Watch, it seems like for the most part, their partner has no interest at all.
Well, no, that's not true. But like I said, I have a bunch of people who have emailed me to say, yeah, I'm doing this. And even I had one guy who I don't even know if I should say this because I won't say who he is, but sent me a Twitter message. And he's like, I am getting one for my girlfriend or fiance or something like that. And he was curious about the buying process because he didn't want to have to tip her off before he went in to get it for her. So,
yeah.
I mean, if your significant other is into this sort of thing, male or female, you know, they would love to have an Apple Watch. So yeah. It's just my wife's just not techie nerdy.
Yeah, I think a good pro tip to offer here is if your significant other doesn't seem like they would want one of these, even if it was given to them as a gift, it's
right.
not going
don't
to be gratifying to buy this for them unless you just really want to spend money.
No, I think what I'm going to spend that kind of cash on for my wife actually is I'm looking at a telescope.
Oh,
ooh, fun.
See, my lady wants one of those too. That's a good idea. I should do that. Hope she doesn't listen to the show anymore.
And they're about the same price, so.
Yeah, okay. But it doesn't have force touch, so. Doesn't have the love taps.
No, but you'll be able to see the rings of Saturn.
Yeah, so you get to see some kind of rings.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah, different rings than the workout ring. That's what I mean. Where else are we? Oh, so the lady who Apple got to show off all the sport features of the Apple Watch. You know what I'm talking about? She's blogging.
You, Christy Turlington?
Yeah, I don't know who she is. Whoever she is.
She was a supermodel, and now she's like a marathon runner.
Yeah, athlete. Marathon supermodel lady. The blog is kind of interesting because it gives a lot of sort of behind-the-scenes stuff, like switching out bands, what that looks like. One of the more interesting things that she posted was that after you run with the Apple Watch and your iPhone a few times, the workout app knows more about your stride, so you can run on a treadmill or outside without your phone and still get a really accurate workout summary. And that is really cool, because I would love to go for a run without having my phone strapped to my arm.
And then you don't get GPS stuff, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I just want the tracking of the of my how far I went. It doesn't really matter where I went, really.
That was already known, though, right? I mean, you can wear it out, and it'll still do your
stuff. But it wouldn't be that
the piece that that's new is that it will learn your stride,
and that's
and
important.
Get more accurate over
that's
time.
Important because it's really tough for them to calibrate it for everybody based on those movements. And so when you couple it with the GPS and there's an actual learning situation that goes on, that makes it really cool.
And that to me is a pretty compelling thing, because I have always run with my iPhone and my Fitbit and then combined the data. And if I can run with just the watch, that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because it has the 2 gig storage. And you know, Bluetooth and all that's that'd be so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it should work nice with your Jaybirds, right?
Yeah, once I find them again.
Yeah.
I'm in Michael.
I don't
You
have
both
any...
have Jaybirds, right?
Oh, I have them, but they're busted.
Oh no.
They're totally garbage now. The JF3 Freedom, I think is what they are. They totally have just like deteriorated into nothing.
Yeah, and mine, the Blue Bed X, which I love, but I can't figure out where they are. Driving me nuts.
Yeah, but I actually have some other wireless headphones I want to talk about later on. Let's see here. So as far as the buying process goes, so there have been reports that came out saying that you can only buy them reservation only. You can't walk in and purchase them, right? And but what has it's Jeff, I'll let you explain, because Dave kind of let everybody know how it's really going to work out. And you kind of hashed it out on TMO Daily Observation. So how's it going to go down?
Okay, so the way it works is what you should do. If you want to try on and buy an Apple Watch from the 24th on, make an appointment. That's just the easy way to do it. But if you decide you're going to walk in to look at one, then Apple's going to do the same thing that they're currently doing with Genius Bar appointments, where they have slots open for walk-ins. So you can come in and say, hey, I want to look at an Apple Watch. And then they'll have extra slots, and they'll say, okay, well, it's going to be 20 minutes or whatever.
Probably more like 2 hours.
I know.
It's
going
to be 3 hours from now, or come back tomorrow, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'll send you texts as it's getting closer to your time so that you don't miss it. So what happens, because you have to have an appointment to buy, and you have to have an appointment to try on. What they're doing when you book your try-on appointment, they're actually booking two appointments back-to-back. So you have your try-on and your buy appointment. And that way, when you get through the whole process of, I found the watch that I want, and we'll assume in this scenario that they actually have it in stock, then they go into the next part of your appointment seamlessly, where they handle the purchase and setup process for you. So that
won't happen either. It'll be like you can order it online and it'll come in.
Yeah, assuming they have
months.
The one that you want.
Right. Yeah. But if you're doing just a purchase, like I'm assuming that they're going to let you do like we've done with some previous pre-orders, where you place your order online and you can have it delivered, or you pick it up in the store. So you can set up your pickup appointment. And have just that, but if you're going to set your try-on appointment, you're automatically set for a purchase appointment to go with it.
Yeah, I really think people need to understand that, you know, this is a brand new Apple product. It's going to go just like every other Apple product that's new and hot and hyped, and that's going to be your best bet for getting one is to pre-order.
Yep.
you know, and have it shipped to you. And even if you're planning on trying it on and buying it later, just know you're probably going to have to order it online and you're probably going to have to wait several weeks at the very quickest to probably get it for the next few months.
They may, I mean, they, it seems like they are going to have walk-in stock, but it's probably going to be much more limited than the pre-order stock.
It's going to be like the iPhone. You're either going to be there waiting outside the door and have the first appointment of the day, or you're going to be SOL.
Yeah, but I think the big distinction here is that there really won't be people, that many people waiting outside the door, because people are going to show up at the Apple store. They're going to say, hey, I want to get this. And there may be a couple people waiting to talk to someone about getting an appointment. But then the idea is to get those people to Amscray and until it's time for their time to check out the watch.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But I mean, I'm just, you know, I want to be sort of clear with people who are like, I want to get one. Do walk-in stuff and they're going to accommodate you, but if you want to, if you think you're just going to walk in over the next couple months and buy the Apple Watch that you want,
yeah,
you're going to be disappointed.
Probably not going to happen.
I think you're right.
I mean, there'll be people who luck out and they happen to have that an extra one in stock or one got returned. I mean, there's going to be exceptions to that, but in general, it's going to be very hard to come buy one.
But if you want to get the 42 millimeter black sport, you're probably SOL unless you buy it pre-order.
Yeah, I've already got a B and a C model because I'm prepared that I'm not going to be able to get that one.
Oh boy!
It's everybody that I've talked to, who's a dude, at least.
Absolutely.
That's
every
the one
person
they picked.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe they'll. Well, hopefully they'll make accommodations for more of those. But
yeah, my second choice will be the blue, and then the green.
Not the white.
No, I'm not a white kind of person.
Yeah. Where else? So, they won't allow swapping of the bands. So it's basically what they list on the store is what you're going to get.
This is for try on.
And this
you
is
can
for
swap
purchase.
Bands if you want to buy an extra.
You
band.
You can buy an extra band. Yes, if you want to buy a different band, you can do that. But when you're doing the try on situation,
it's not really going to matter, though. Right, as long as you can try on the watch with the band that you want in terms of the face size.
I think so. It'll be interesting.
I don't care, you know, that I want to buy the extra, you know, leather loop band and I'm trying it on with a stainless, you know, 42 millimeter watch. I can get that. I can put that on my aluminum sport and it's going to be very similar.
Right. Okay. Here's the workaround to seeing how that looks. If you really need the visualization, what you want to do is use the Apple Store app, tag your favorites, and then tag the one you're going to get, and then tag the model that has the band you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you can try them both on. And you're like, okay, yeah, I see the band looks the way I expect on me. You buy the watch you want, and then you buy the band to go with it.
So are you saying you have to specify which watches you want to try on before your try-on appointment?
I think in the ending process.
And if you tag stuff in the Apple Store app, mm-hmm. then that's linked up to your reservation. Mm-hmm. So they'll have the watches you want to see ready to go when it's time for your appointment.
Does it look to me like the little case thing that they had set up that we've sort of seen some leaked images of?
Yeah, they're going to have
basically
a bunch of watches ready to go.
All of the combinations, right? Is that not all of the combos in that?
I don't think
tray?
It's all the combos, but it's a good cross section. But if there's stuff that you are specifically interested in, they'll make sure those watches are ready to go when your appointment starts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And that's why I went in and tagged favorites in the App Store app already.
Cool.
Yeah, I even tagged that space black one, although I'm going to try it on and then I'm going to laugh at them when they tell me the price.
You're gonna try it on. Yeah.
I want to try it on. But
check it out. Give it a nice.
Yeah, then I'm going to be have the lust in my heart and then they're going to do their little.
Well, could buy it.
It's going to drop into their training and tell me how good it looks on me.
Oh,
and stuff.
It looks so good. It's only $1,100.
Totally should get that one.
We won't tell your wife.
It's the right one for you. It totally matches your style.
Yeah. You're a stylish guy.
With your jeans and your free t-shirt.
So stylish. your free t-shirt. It's going to say free on the t-shirt.
I never buy t-shirts because I get them at conferences or whatever, right? Yeah. I've got a gazillion free t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Apple Care Plus for the watch. The pricing is, it seems to be out there, right? This is from some internal screenshots that are supposedly out there. So for the Sport, it's going to be $60. For the Apple Watch, it's going to be $80. And then for the Edition, it's going to be $1,000.
This is Apple Care?
Yeah, Apple Care. Yeah. As far as the incidental,
for Apple Care.
Who knows about the incidental charge yet?
Oh, like what the accidental damage charge?
Yeah, if you flush it down the toilet or whatever.
Yeah, don't flush your watch down the toilet.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea to not do that.
And another classic case where it still comes with a year.
It does.
Coverage, right?
But I believe you still will have to purchase Apple Care within the first 30 days because it has the incidental, right? It's not like the computer.
No, yeah, but I mean, I fully, because this is a version one for me, I'll probably be getting the one that comes out next year. So I don't know if I need, I guess if you're going to accidentally damage it, but I'm not very hard on my watches, fortunately.
Yeah. So there's that. And there was a nice Wired article with Kevin Lynch and Alan Dye, who does the UI at Apple.
Is that in the current issue?
I do not know if it's in, I'm sure it's in the magazine. It's on their website. And it's rather long, but a very good piece that kind of goes over the thinking behind the creation of the watch, the process, and a lot of really neat screenshots. At the very least, the artwork, the image assets that are going to be on the watch, are a lot of those are included. So it's a very neat read, and that will be in the show notes. As far as Apple Watch apps go, we're starting to see Apple Watch apps or updated apps for the Apple Watch in the App Store.
Yeah, I think that Apple needs to make it really clear how this is working, because when I started telling people, hey, you know, the apps are there, they were very confused because they couldn't find the Apple Watch App Store section, and they're not getting that these are updates to iPhone apps that include Apple Watch support built in. So you won't see any difference until you have the Apple Watch, and then they can push the component over that needs to be there to the watch. See? Now everyone's confused.
Yeah. No, I'm not confused. It makes perfect sense. And I mean, because these Apple Watch apps are not going to be that, they're not that involved. So it makes sense you need to have the companion app.
Well, and Apple has said that initially all that's available will be companion apps. So if you don't have the iPhone app, then there's no point in the Apple Watch app.
Right. But as far as the... Let's see, which apps? So there's like Evernote, Wanderlust, Wanderlust rather, Twitter.
Dark Sky,
Transit. There are some City Mapper. City Mapper looks really good. It's the, I think that's what I'm thinking about, right? It's the one that does the transit directions. Yeah, it looks great. Because if for anyone who's done public transport, it kind of takes care of all of those, like when's the train going to come or the bus, when's my next stop, how many stops until my next thing, and it'll tap you when it's time to get off or when it's coming up, or directions to the stop and all that stuff. It looks great. So that seems like one of those perfect uses for the watch to keep you from having to pull your phone out of your pocket constantly to check stuff out. And Apple has, of course, begun accepting Apple Watch app submissions. So,
yeah, I'm very excited that OmniFocus will be available for Apple Watch on the 24th.
Yep.
The update for that, as far as I know, is not out yet. But OmniGroup says definitely in time for the Apple Watch launch.
Wonderful. Yep. And so that's all. Those are all the stories that we have. Are you guys ready to do picks? Is there anything else?
I guess it's pick time.
No. I'm wholly unprepared for picks, but go for it.
Okay. Well, then I'll let you go first, Jeff.
All right. My pick actually surprised me because I thought I downloaded and tested the app, and my first thought was, as I was downloading, this is going to be stupid. And it turns out I really like it. And this is the new companion app for Instagram called Layout. Mm. And what it does is it lets you take multiple photographs and put them together in like grids and different patterns.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it actually is. And then it can, and then it just saves this new image back to your camera roll. And it can also send it right over to Instagram directly for you where you can post it. And so I've been playing around with it, and turns out that I actually really like it. It's pretty cool. And it's really easy to use. You just you pick photos, and then it automatically updates the type of grid layout options that are available based on the number of photos you have. And you can move stuff around, so you get just the the images in just the place you want, and it's picking just the part of the image you want. It's very simple. It's very easy to use. And it sends everything right back over to Instagram for you. Works really well. I used it just a little while ago, playing with it again. I took a photo outside of my window this morning while everything was covered with snow.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, and then I took another photo this afternoon where the snow is completely gone and you can see the bright pink blossoms in the tree and stuff. Put those together in Layout, sent it into Instagram, and posted it. It's free.
Cool. Looks like a good tool.
Yeah, it turns out it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I can go next if you're not ready, Adam.
No, I'm good.
All right.
I got something. I don't think I picked this before on this show. So as a parent, one of the things that is important to me is trying to figure out what kinds of media and content are appropriate for my kids. And there is a great website called Common Sense Media that does a rating system, but they actually have a really great app that goes along with their website. I think it's just called On Media or Common Sense. I think the app is called On Media. Oops, excuse me. And what's awesome about this is you can go in and you can search for any, and they do movies, TV shows, video games, apps, and books. And you can go in and you can search for something, and then what you get is you get just a general review and rating, but more importantly, you get an age recommendation. And they have their experts that do the age recommendation, but also they have kids and parents who write in reviews who also give what they think the age should be. And those are often two different things, right? So the experts will say, oh, it's appropriate for this age, but actually kids who have seen the content or parents who have seen the content will rate it differently. So you can get that information as well. And then not only that, on top of that, they will break down the rating by a bunch of different categories. So they have things like educational value, positive messages, positive role models, violence, sex, language, consumerism, and drugs, drinking, and smoking.
Neat.
So you can see, does this piece of media have any of those things in it? And then there's a rating for each one of those from 1 to 5. And not only that, you can tap on the actual rating. So say, for example, you're looking at a movie and it says, well, the sex is, level 2. And I'm specifically looking at the new, for example, Cinderella movie that just came out. And it will tell you exactly why. It says, well, there's a kiss shared between Cinderella and her prince. And there's plenty of focus on romance, marriage, and coupling. So you have that information now. So you can sort of decide, okay, is that age appropriate for my specific kids, because everybody's somewhat different, right?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called On Media, and the organization is called Common Sense Media.
Okay.
Online, and it just gets you a lot more detail. So when you see a rating on violence, you can drill in and you can see why it got that rating. You know, what kind of violence are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, horrible torture kind of stuff? Are we talking about blood and guts? Are we talking about, you know, psychological sort of, you know, things? What is it? Because everybody's kids are a little bit different and react to different things in different ways. And different people have different opinions about what's appropriate and not appropriate for their kids at certain ages. Yeah. So it really helps you sort of hone in and drill in on that stuff. And like I said, they do it for everything. So we even use it for like books. So if my kids want to read a particular kind of book, I can kind of look and get a sense without actually having to pre-read the book of what sort of themes and content and things they're in store for.
Neat.
Yeah, and it helps you make really better informed decisions about, you know, is this content appropriate or not?
Cool.
So, great app. And I think the app is free.
It is free. It's called Kids Media.
There you go.
In the App Store. So, yeah, but that's neat.
Yeah,
check
and
it
it's
out.
By Common Sense Media. You can also just go to the website, commonsensemedia.org, I think is what it is.
And they give you all the data there.
Yeah. But the app is really nice because it's presented in a really, you know, concise way. So I use the app mostly. I hardly ever go to the website anymore.
Cool. All right. So my pick this week is the Plantronics Backbeat Go 2. I got this. I'm going to do a whole like write-up of a bunch of different Bluetooth headsets because I've tried a lot of them over the years, and I'm looking for one that's really great. And I haven't put this thing through like full paces, but I've been using them for maybe a 2 weeks or so, and I love them. They're great. They're $80 baseline price. I think for an extra $20, you can get a charging case, which is nice because they're real tiny, which is nice. It's basically the earbuds, and the earbuds contain the battery, and then there's a remote switch on the in wire. In line that has a mic, so it's volume up, down, and a play pause, and you get a lot of nice functionality out of it. Some of my favorite features: the charging is done with a standard micro USB, so you can just plug any old thing in to charge it up. They are earbud style, and one thing that I noticed with a lot of these Bluetooth headphones is when you turn them on or turn them off, you get audio feedback letting you know that you've turned it on or you've turned it off or you've initiated pairing or this or that. So there are quite a few features that you get the audio feedback, and then you get a little LED that lets you know those things. And typically you have to see the LED and hear it to really understand what's going on with your headset. And that's kind of annoying because you really just want to have them in your ears and know what's going on when you're pressing the buttons. And these totally take care of that because they have voice feedback, which sounds kind of corny, but it's really nice. So you turn them on and it'll say headset on or headset off or pairing, or it'll say battery level high. So, and it's one of those things where, again, you get beep feedback on most of these that let you know that the battery's getting low. This will say battery's getting low, battery's high, etc. All that stuff. They're just great. I think the whole user experience has been, totally honed in on these guys more so than pretty much any of the other ones that I've seen. And one of my especially favorite features is that the volume on these is directly linked to the volume on your device. So you don't have two separate volumes.
Nice.
It's not like you're turning up your headset volume and then you're turning up your iPhone volume, which just always drove me crazy because with my, with the Jaybirds that I had, I would turn my iPhone volume all the way up, I believe, and then I would use the headset volume to turn it up and down, because otherwise if I did it in reverse, the beeping from getting too high on the volume would like be really loud in my ears and that sort of thing. And it made me think of too many things that I shouldn't have to think about. So it's linked directly to that, and I just love that. And this is the only pair of headphones that I've seen. And I love this. I haven't seen it since the original iPhone Bluetooth headset, but you get battery status in your status bar. It shows you a little visual icon for the battery level of the headset in your status bar right next to the Bluetooth logo. So
that's really cool too.
Yeah, it's one of the lower priced headsets. The sound isn't like, I mean, it's not incredible. It's not like if you go out and you buy a pair of like $100 Shures or anything like that, but the sound is pretty good. It's definitely passable. It doesn't upset me in any way. Therefore, I use them a lot for podcasts, casual music listening, working out. They're not as good at staying in my ears as the Jaybirds that I've used. They have these little springy deals on the sides that try to keep it in your ear. They're not that great, but for the most part, I'm very pleased with them. So they're $80, and I like them. So check them out. Plantronics Backbeat Go. And with that, all the picks in the show notes are at theiosshow.com. You can review the show on iTunes and tell a friend. Both of those things really help out, especially if you go in there and just give us a couple stars. That helps. That'd be really awesome if you did that. Feedback at theiosshow.com is where you can get a hold of us. Send us tips and feedback and questions and all that sort of stuff. Sponsor this week, of course, is Linda at lynda.com/Tyos, and advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer. He's at J Gamet on Twitter, and he does the TMO Daily Observations podcast, which you should definitely check out. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always a blast. Every single week.
Every time. And Adam Christensen, he's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter.
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope. That's good.
Okay, cool. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And I'm on Applr, GETAPPLR.com. Check it out. App sharing. There's stuff in the works for that too. Improvements. So that'll be cool as well. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? They have to get them and put them away.